going to happen. It is certain. And as we see the wickedness of this world, as we see and hear the hardness of man's heart, that even in this time of the coronavirus, the hardening of hearts is still here. It's like people cannot be shaken out of unbelief by anything that happens, and they're not going to heed the warnings of God. And so we can feel that and become very discouraged. But we need to encourage ourselves, and we must, in the truth that God is going to save the elect, and He's going to use these things to accomplish His purpose. He is going to deliver His people out of the snare of the false prophet. And that's what He's talking about here. Jeremiah chapter number 23, verse number 1 through 4 is our message. The Lord says, He says, it's a woe to the shepherds. It's a woe of agony. It's a woe of destruction. It's a woe of the wrath of God that's coming, because He is going to send these false shepherds into hell, into the lake of fire. He is going to punish them at the end of time. With the government here in Nigeria, people are complaining a lot. We have no light often. We have no water. There's extreme poverty. It is 80% of the people, I'm told, actually survive on only $3 per day or less. And when you have a big quarantine and the people are not able to go out and to make money, and they're living off of what they can make that day, it is extremely hard on the people. I've heard some rumors that the people were supposed to be collecting about $25 or so, which would help them. But it seems as if perhaps the politicians again have taken it. I don't have all the facts, but I know for a fact that the corruption here is, well, it's the number one place in the world for corruption, according unto the indexes that would, you know, understand or would study that truth. And I know that the false religion here, it's the worst in the world. There may be other places that are as bad, but there is no place worse, especially than southern Nigeria, where they're after your money, and they promise you miracles and healings. And all of these false prophets have been exposed and are naked. And people are struggling to come out of their grasp. But the grasp is very strong, because the people love to have this false gospel preached themselves. These false prophets would be out of business if the people did not come and say, give me what I want to hear, which is about money in my pocket, health on my body, and prosperity unto my family. I'm going to pay you money in order for you to promise me more money. And that's how the system goes here, you know, is the people aren't going to pay a doctor and take their medicine, is they're going to pay into superstition. They're going to pay a false prophet. And the Bible says, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. There is a particular people whom God has chosen from the foundation of the world. And he is using this coronavirus. He is using this coming economic hardship. I don't know what is going to happen, but I know that the prognostications are the highest unemployment rate in American history. In the Great Depression, that was 100 years ago, the unemployment rate reached up to 24%. As to what they are saying now, it will be in the low 30s. What is going to happen to people? Their hearts are going to fail them because of fear. They are going to run after snake oil salesmen who can promise them a lie, promise them something that is never going to happen. But God also has a people whom he has chosen in his love for salvation. He chose us before this world ever got started. And he is using the coronavirus and the coming economic collapse or withdrawal and hardship. He is using all of these things to bring us unto himself, as he had appointed from before this world ever began. All trains are on track with God. He's going to punish the evil, and he's going to save his people. He is going to snatch us out of the hands of our false prophets. I've been saved from false prophets, and so have you if you've come to hear the blessed gospel. It's extremely few who have actually grown up under the truth of the gospel their entire life. But either way, I have to be saved from the snare of the devil, from unbelief, from sin, from this world, and my own self being my own master. But he's going to do it. He's prophesied it. He's promised it. It is going to happen. It shall come to pass. Amen. Amen. Therefore, since he has pronounced this woe, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, the God of his elect, out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, says about the shepherds who shepherd my people, these false prophets who preach, I'm going to cover you in the blood of Christ. As to what they're preaching is just superstition. And they are using the precious blood of Christ to ward off evil that God never said won't happen to you. He never says that I won't get sick. He never says that I won't go broke. He never says that people I care about shall not die. But the purpose of the blood of Christ is to reconcile us unto God, to take away his wrath, to make us righteous by faith in him, that we know all these things are working together for our good, and we'll never lose the love of God in Christ, no matter what happens in everything he does, even the most painful things are being done by the exact same love that actually died for you and me, that sent the Son to die for us, that paid for our sin. That love is organizing every event in time and eternity towards us who believe his gospel, his elect. He's saying that since my people are under these false shepherds, I'm going to use a calamity, is because Israel in the days of our brother Jeremiah had to go into Babylonian captivity, And she had to be humbled, but that would be the means of God to save his people. And it's like when he sends our souls into Babylon. That's when a Christian is chastised by God. Have you been there? I've been there for 18 years. I was chastened by God as a believing preacher of the true gospel because I had to learn the hard way. The strength is not in myself, and I'm to live unto the glory of God. Not to be selfish, y'all. Not have to live our own self, our own strength, our own righteousness, and our own will. But to live by God's grace and his glory, to feast upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and to live by his power as the only hope that me and you have. He says, you have scattered my flock. You have banished them and have not attended them. That's what these false prophets have been doing, teaching lies. I will attend to you because of your evil acts. You know, people tell me, and I can feel it, oh, we ought not to talk about these false prophets, but we must. The Almighty God does. And he says that he's going to take his children out of their hands. He's going to deliver us, and he's going to tend to them. And the first thing that God does in the destruction of a false prophet is he saves his elect out of his hands. Then he sends him to hell. Because the blind lead the blind into a ditch and over a cliff into a pit. But God steps in through the preaching of the word by the power of the Spirit, and he saves his people out of that mess when me and you were going headlong saying amen to every false prophet in the world. Look what he says. I will gather the remnant of my flock. That's the elect. That's the many that are called, but the few that are chosen. I will gather the remnant of my flock from all of the lands where I banished them. And so you see how it was God says that it was you false prophets. But then God says it was me. What he's saying is that he was in charge of our delusion, both the deceived and the deceiver are his. He has power over Satan. He has power over the devil, whom he used to put us into a pickle according unto our own will and the will of the oppressor, but he meant it for our good. I'm going to let you be oppressed, he says, because you did not want to listen unto me. I will let you believe these false prophets who promise you money and promise you earthly prosperity and promise you that you can decree and declare. How foolish these men look, and their slaves feel right now. It's sad now. I'm angry, but I'm heartbroken at the same time. I don't laugh very often about these things. They are dreadful. But God Almighty says, it is your fault. It is my fault. And he was in control of it the entire time, but he's going to spin it around in order to bring us out. That's the mercy of God. That's in the gospel. You and I, we did not save ourselves. It was God's grace and mercy, or we'd still be in captive. We would be in hell for certain if it was left up to us at all. But he says, I will gather the remnant of my flock, his people, his elect, from all of the lands where I have banished them in my anger, and I will return them to their grazing land. I will bring them back unto Jesus Christ. I will give them a repentance. I will grant them a new heart. I will give them faith.
from my throne in glory,
I'll send the power of the Holy Spirit.
It was a person I was talking to this morning that has an open door at home to speak unto her parents the true gospel. They're doing a morning, a devotion time. Oh, what a blessing that not a lot of true believers have. But I think that perhaps this coronavirus has kept everyone locked into the house and opened the door to open and to share his word. But her problem was this: even though she said that her parents were in agreement, it didn't come with any conviction, and she's not expecting to see any change. And that hurts our heart, though. But at least it's optimistic in that the word of God is preached and the power of the gospel can come by the Holy Spirit at any time. And so that tells us to pray. Pray as we're preaching this word. As you and I have time home alone or home with your family, use this time wisely to seek after God and pray that he might add a blessing unto his word, that this time it would not be squandered on this world. There is a time unto watch your TV. There is a time to pick back. But there's another time to devote yourself unto the kingdom of God. Don't be one of these Christians, so and so, who lives for himself, but live your life for the glory of God in the gospel. And I will say this, because I have to preach. It's a burden on my heart each day to bring you these messages. And I don't know for how much longer it's going to be on the lockdown here. I believe is another 8 or 9 days. But honestly, I don't even know whether it is Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know what day it is. But the burden to preach the gospel makes me seek after God, makes me get a word from God, makes me obey God in humility that I might speak for God. And you know, it's the best thing in my life. And to have this particular burden, it's not to show off. It's a necessity. It's my lifeline. It's what makes me happy. I have to get it in order to get it out. And if I only get it in, I know by experience, it gets weaker and he doesn't give it. I got to speak. So please pray and join in the commitment and give and support your preachers. I know your economic situation, this might drop. I'm not asking you to tithe, but to give according as to God's purposes on your heart. It's a couple of things he's put on my heart to give to. And I say, Lord God, is that too much? But if I believe it's from him, I have to believe that he is going to provide and he knows what he's doing. We've got to be about this business because the kingdom of God is everything. And to do good with what he's, as to with our life. That's what our master did. He went about doing good. Now, he could heal, but you can hug somebody. You can call somebody. You can comfort somebody. You can post something that's been a blessing to you, not just here, but down into your heart. And you can definitely pray for people. That the word of God will come with power, because that's what we preachers need, is conviction. And we can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit can. And as you witness the gospel, only the Holy Spirit can bring the conviction in the heart with power, but he can convict anybody he wants. So let's pray in the guaranteed assurance he's going to save his elect. There's a lot of discouragement as you see people not coming unto Jesus Christ. But look what Paul says. It's in the book of 2 Timothy in chapter number 2. Paul puts it like this, and he says, verse number 8 through 10, as he's encouraging brother Timothy in all of his afflictions and the trials that actually come from preaching the gospel, it's the Apostle Paul says, keep your attention on Jesus Christ. Always keep your mind, your eyes, your faith, and your hope in him. Not in yourself or anybody else, but in the gospel. Because the gospel has precious promises that are exceeding with power when taken home into our heart by the Holy Spirit. And it's only by looking to Christ that the Spirit works with comfort and power to save and to strengthen our souls. But keep your attention on him as risen from the dead, as victorious over sin and death, even though he had to suffer. And as me and you have to suffer, just remember that he descended from David. He's an actual man who, just like David, had to become a king after much suffering. Now, for David, it was being chased around by Saul for 20 years. It was a long time. I believe it was for 20 years. As he took of the throne almost at age 40. And he was called as a young man. But for Christ, he was born king. He was born the Son of God, the equal with God the Father from all of eternity. But he also became a man. And he was in all points tempted, and he was tested, and he was tried without end. But he's risen from the dead. He is victorious. He overcame sin, death, and Satan. This is according, Paul says, unto my gospel. He took it personally as his good news, which he preached. I suffer for it. I suffer for the gospel to the point of being bound like a criminal. Our brother Jeremiah had to preach a message that the people did not like, the false prophets did not like, and the government of his day did not like. And he had to suffer for it, and he was thrown into a pit over it, and he was hated because of it, and sometimes he would get depressed with God over it, because so many people were rejecting his message, as he's telling us that me and you must go and bow down unto God in great difficulty and suffer the chastisement of our sin. And we need to yield unto him in a full and total surrender. And that's how me and you feel at times, as if the world is against us. I'm preaching the gospel, but so few people are believing. I hear all kinds of people saying, oh, that's nice, or he's so zealous, but there's no faith. There's no belief of the doctrine, and that doesn't comfort us if people say, oh, that's really good for you, or they just think that we are playing crazy. And we're overdoing it, and we're out of our minds, and we shouldn't take it so serious. And we need to go live our life as if Christ died for me and you to live our life. That's not the gospel. He died for us to live his life unto his glory in the salvation of sinners. And that's why Paul says, but the message of God isn't bound.
even though I may feel trapped or be in prison as our brother Paul was, or be discouraged or be persecuted or be rejected, the word of God is still powerful. And this is why, since the word of God is conquering, all powerful, I endure all things for the elect's sake, so that they also may obtain salvation. He's saying that no matter what happens in this world to me, and no matter how many people hate the gospel and perish in their sin under the tutelage of false prophets with these itching ears who want to hear about money and superstition, all they want to hear is how the blood of Christ will keep them from trouble instead of from the wrath of God, and to make them able to live a holy life in spite of their trouble. They don't want to hear the gospel, but Paul is saying, in spite of all of that, I'm going to suffer and I'm going to keep on going because God has an elect who shall not fail to be saved, because his power, his word, his very simple gospel is invincible. Do you believe it? I'm calling you to believe it. And I'm calling you to preach it with power and to pray and to give your life to it and your money and support it and live for its glory and honor it and be all about it. That's the happiness of a Christian. That's the happiness of any human being who be a laborer together with God. To consecrate yourself, myself, unto this business of the gospel, and to get our pleasure, and he will give it from him. He'll take care of his people. Paul was the happiest man alive now. Because he's suffering for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, elect people, to get the gospel unto us no matter what happened to him. And that is a life that's worth living, because that's what God is doing now. And if we do it by faith, if we live unto his glory, it will work out, because godliness has the promise of the life that now is and of the world that's coming. It will be well with the righteous even now, even though we suffer, because Christ is with us indeed unto do his will. But let's go back into Jeremiah chapter 23. This is the promise. Verse number 3. I will return them to their grazing land, the green pasture of the gospel. They will become fruitful and numerous. I will raise up shepherds, just like me, a true shepherd, a true preacher of the gospel, like John MacArthur, like Henry Mayhem, like Ralph Bonner, like Charles Spurgeon, like Martin Luther, like John Calvin, like Augustine, like the men I know now who preach the gospel. And if you're in an area and you want to find someone preaching the truth, it's not enough just to go to church. Oh, the devil is in most of our churches, and he's ruling and reigning from the pulpit, twisting lies, preaching himself as men preach themselves. But the true gospel, if you want to be in contact with it, contact me. I will try to hook you up with men that you can listen to online, Brother Steve Lawson, Paul Washer, or maybe there's somebody in your area that after the quarantine is over, you can go and sit and learn and give and work and serve unto God's glory. Because it doesn't do us any good to serve a false prophet, but God will bring us out unto the true preachers of the gospel, just like myself. I will raise up shepherds, and that's who does it, over them, who will shepherd them, who will feed them, who will teach them the gospel of God's grace, who will open the scriptures into their understanding. As I try to preach, I don't even try to make you think. I don't want you to think. I want you to understand. I don't want to stretch your brain. I want to feed your soul, because that's how I was taught. I was taught by men like Henry Mahan, who would spend hours in their study that they may come. And here is the gift of teaching, and make it simple and plain and easy and presentable for your understanding, that you might take hold and receive the gospel and not have to worry about a man impeding your relationship with Jesus Christ and having to crawl all over him just to get a morsel. No, preach the gospel with plainness, that people can see Christ. And if a man has been taught by God, he will tell you everything he knows in as simple as a language as he can find. And all of us are not going to be equally simple, but that's the goal, is to feed the people with the doctrine of Christ, to open the word and preach it and teach it and tell it as it is exactly. And then they, he's talking about me and you, after we hear the gospel, after our soul has been set free, they will no longer be afraid or dismayed, nor will any be missing, says the Lord of hosts. He'll take away your fear of the future. Our fear is gone. And I know that we must battle, but we keep coming to Christ, we keep being fed, and the fear keeps being conquered. Because God is in charge of whatever happens. It's an illustration. I hope this is helpful, and I believe it is. It's with the Apostle Paul. As you see as to what's happening, it's in the book of 2 Corinthians 12, is that these false prophets, these witch doctors who are using Christ's name in vain, what they're telling the people in Africa, I had a man contact me from North Carolina. He's a man that helps to support the ministry here extremely well. And he's been telling me about his interaction with the people that he used to work with, and how they've been laid off. And he's been passing them these COVID-19 gospel messages. And they are holding on to their false religion, and they are getting their witch doctors who pose as preachers to cover them with the blood, and they're covering their finances, and they're covering their house, and they're covering their wife, and they're covering their car with the shed blood of Christ. That's not the gospel. All they're doing is a superstition to try to stop a calamity. And it's just like the witch doctors in Africa who have been turned into preachers of a lie, of a false gospel in the name of Christ. The blood of Christ doesn't cover your car over. The blood of Christ doesn't even cover us from sickness. The blood of Christ covers us from the wrath of God. It covers our sin so that we can be forgiven and righteousness can be charged unto our account by faith in His blood. It makes me right with God so that I know there's no more wrath. No matter what happens, even his chastisement is in love. That's what it said for Romans 5. If we have been saved by his blood, much more we shall be saved from his wrath.
if while we were sinners, he died for us. He, now that he's at the right hand of God, there's no wrath coming on us ever again. So there's nothing that will ever happen to a person that's in Jesus Christ that can ever be called wrath. It can be called chastening. It can be called chastisement. And in the Old Testament, wrath was used as a word to talk about the chastening of a true believer. But chastisement is in love. The Almighty God never just pulls off his belt and just goes crazy. It's always a loving stroke. He that smote his only begotten son for you is not going to do anything in his wrath towards you. It will all be because of love. And Christ Jesus took that wrath that you and I gotta take if we're outside of Christ. But if we're in Christ, in the ark, we're like Noah. There is no rainwater touching us at any time. And he even got out on dry ground. There's no condemnation in Christ. But the Apostle Paul is actually also saying this in 2 Corinthians 12. And this is what it means to not be afraid. And let me just read you this. Verse number 8 through 9. No. Verse number 7 through 9. Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself above measure in pride, Paul says, because of the abundance of the revelations, I've been taken up into the third heaven. I'm able unto write scripture. I can say, thus says the Lord. I can actually work all of these real miracles. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, the messenger Satan. And so the devil himself was given unto the Apostle Paul to afflict him with all kinds of trials, with shipwreck, with hunger, with attempted murder, with beatings, all those things that you see him talking about in 2 Corinthians 11. That has the meaning here. So that I would not exalt myself above measure. Verse number 8. And concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take it away from me. And, you know, people are so scared of suffering. But believers cast our fears unto the Lord, and we get more strength, and we get peace, and we get comfort, so that we can comfort other people. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, my power is perfected in weakness. And so what Paul is saying is that, and so he takes pleasure in his weaknesses. And so he's saying that when a coronavirus will come and people are scared of death and the economy, it collapses and it gets turned upside down, and I might not know as to where I'm going to be able to actually pay my bills, if I'm going to be able to hold on to my house, if I'll have a job. Hard things that believers have to deal with in this life right now. I know that the strength of God through our Lord Jesus Christ and his grace, which helps me as a poor and needy sinner who doesn't have any strength, who doesn't have any wisdom, And all I can do is just trust in Jesus Christ. That's what makes me strong. He sends the Spirit into our hearts with power, puts our confidence in our Lord, and makes us able to live for His glory in whatever hardship comes our way. That's being without fear. And that's what made Paul say, and I'm almost done here, but it made Paul say that therefore I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, all my sufferings, all my dangers, all my trials, all my hardships, all my labors, all my beatings, all my hungers, all my being chased around from town to town, so that Christ's power may reside in me, so I take pleasure in weaknesses. I'm not scared of the future. I'm not scared of what's going to happen unto me. I'm not scared of tomorrow. Because God, who reconciled me and you unto Himself by our Lord Jesus Christ, has sent this trial, even the coronavirus, for our good, that me and you might reach out His gospel to call in the elect unto the harvest. And so we need to pray, and we need to go about this business of preaching the gospel with confidence, knowing that even though many, many people are going to perish in hell because they will not hear, no matter what God does in chastisement, in warning, in preaching, there is an elect remnant whom He is right now delivering from their false prophets. And part of it is the coronavirus and the economic collapse, because their false promises, their false prophets like Osteen, like Jakes, like the plethora of them here in southern Nigeria have been promising them all is well. All you got to do is just have enough faith. And now they've lost their job, their house, their grandmother. They can't even leave the house. Everyone is running around with a mask on. They have been shaken upside down and emptied, because God is going to save His people by what's happening right now. So be encouraged. Even though it may not be a lot of people, it may be one from a city and only two from a family, or it might be a worldwide revival, or the whole continent of Africa might have 1 million people swept into the kingdom in just a few years, as it happened in Europe. It was in France at the time of the Reformation, at the time of our brother John Calvin. Of the 8 million people in France that were held under Catholic bondage, a false gospel of justification by works and praying unto saints and unto statues and the Pope, you got to go kiss his ring. 3 million people out of 8 million had came to the Protestant faith, had came unto be members of churches where the gospel was preached, and it was just a few years. The Almighty God can actually do that too. But no matter what the number is, it's the guarantee is I will gather the remnant of my flock, and I will raise up shepherds, preachers of the true gospel up over them. I hope that I'm one of these to you. I know I am one of these. I put my soul on this, but I hope I am unto you, and that you have somebody that is going to be faithful unto your soul, and I'll be of any help I can to put you in contact with a person that's preaching this this true gospel. Because after this pandemic is over, is we need to gather, and we need to invite, and we need to pray, and we need to preach, and we need to live for this gospel, because he's going to save his people, his sheep of his pasture. He's going to feed us, and he's going to take away our fear. Are you fearless right now? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? Have you committed yourself to him and trusted him to save you by faith alone? Are you trusting in his blood instead of your feelings? Are you trusting in his righteousness instead of your own? Are you trusting in his power and instead of your power, and his will instead of your will? If you are believing, and believing that just by believing you are saved, you shall be saved. And this believing, it will produce in your soul power over sin, peace, boldness, courage, and a fearlessness that makes us to walk with God. May the Lord bless you. If I can be a blessing, you let me know.